from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton. For the second time this year, a California city has lost its pro football team. The San Diego Chargers announced in January that they're moving to L.A., and yesterday, National Football League team owners gave permission to the Oakland Raiders to relocate to Las Vegas. Here's KQED's Nina Thorson.
The Raiders have always been a California team, getting their start in Oakland in 1960, moving to Los Angeles in 1982, and back to Oakland in 1995. Now, if things go as planned, they'll leave the Golden State behind for Vegas, which may be a desert, but it offers greener pastures in the financial sense, with at least $750 million of public money in the form of hotel taxes committed to build a new stadium. Oakland had offered its own plan, but financed mostly by private investment, which Mayor Libby Schaaf says reflected both the will of her voters and the advice of experts.
Many economic analyses have been done of these types of public contributions, and they all demonstrate that cities do not make their money back. And so in Las Vegas, when their hotel taxes don't materialize as planned, they certainly can give us a call. We'll let them know what that feels like.
Once the Raiders leave Oakland, which won't be for at least a couple of seasons, the San Francisco 49ers will have Northern California all to themselves, with the Rams and the Chargers sharing L.A. For the California Report, I'm Nina Thorson in Oakland.
Let's turn now to immigration. President Trump is turning up the heat on cities that limit local law enforcement cooperation with federal immigration agents. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said yesterday the Trump administration will, in his words, claw back federal funding from so-called sanctuary cities. He said these policies threaten public safety.
DUIs, assaults, burglaries, drug crimes, gang rapes, crimes against children, and murderers. Countless Americans would be alive today, and countless loved ones would not be grieving today if these policies of sanctuary cities were ended.
Supporters of sanctuary city policies strongly deny that claim. Still, the threat of losing funding is getting the attention of politicians in Sacramento, as KQED's senior editor for politics and government, Scott Schaefer, reports.
State and local governments in California receive hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funds for a wide range of criminal justice programs. Threat to that funding has State Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon steaming.
This is nothing short of blackmail, what they're doing to police officers and county sheriffs up and down the state of California. It's unacceptable, it's un-American, and we won't stand for it.
Senator DeLeon, a Democrat from Los Angeles, says Trump is undermining policies he says build trust between local law enforcement and immigrant communities.
In fact, we have statistics that demonstrate that sanctuary cities actually have less crime than non-sanctuary cities. So this is unacceptable for us in California, and they will not win on this issue.
DeLeon is sponsoring legislation that some say would make California a sanctuary state. That could put federal funding California receives for law enforcement programs at risk, and that concerns Republican State Senator Jeff Stone, who sits on the Public Safety Committee.
You're looking at a significant amount of money that goes into things like gang task force, human trafficking task force, child pornography task force. A lot of these programs can come into jeopardy if we fall into disfavor with the policies of this president.
In the short term, however, funding to Sacramento may be less at risk than money sent to cities and counties with sanctuary policies. With that part of the story, here's KQED's Julie Small.
U.S. Department of Justice grants pay for community policing, DNA testing, and research on violence prevention. All of that would be on the chopping block.
This is broad. This is a lot.
Dan Stageman with the John Jay College of Criminal Justice tracks these grants.
This could actually fund officers on the street. This could affect boots on the ground, so to speak.
Last year, the Justice Department awarded $370 million to local governments in California. A lot of that money came from a grant that pays the first-year cost for new officers. The city of Oakland got nearly $2 million to hire 15 new police. The city of Los Angeles received $3 million for 25 new officers. Craig Lawley with the L.A. Police Protective League, the police union, says that may not sound like a lot of cops, but every body counts.
We don't have enough police officers now, you know, and we struggle every day to put enough officers in the field just to handle simple 911 calls. it's becoming very tough for your average officer out there.
Los Angeles City Police have a long-standing policy not to ask people about their immigration status. Lawley says the Trump administration's threat to cut funding because of that kind of policy is misguided.
Once things become political, they lose focus on what their jobs really are. The job of politicians are supposed to be, the number one job is to protect the communities, no matter what city it is.
Several California cities, including San Francisco, are already suing the Trump administration to challenge the plan to cut funds based on sanctuary policies. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
The election of Donald Trump is reigniting the use of a protest tool used decades ago, divestment. In the 1980s, California effectively withheld investment in South Africa to pressure leaders there to drop its apartheid policy. Now, the nation's largest public retirement fund is facing a similar pressure aimed at protesting Trump. But as KQED's politics and government reporter Katie Orr tells us, fund managers are resisting.
The California Public Employees Retirement System, or CalPERS, is huge, valued at more than $300 billion. Decisions on where to put its money give CalPERS potentially large leverage with companies and industries. Democratic Assemblyman Phil Ting recently introduced a bill that would encourage CalPERS and the state teachers' retirement system to divest from companies involved in the construction of a wall along the Mexican border. Ting says the reasoning is simple.
These are corporations, and corporations respond to money. And these are two of the largest investors in the world. And that's one of the only ways I think they'll get the message. If we did it another way, if we did it in a resolution, I don't think they'd really care or pay attention.
Ting is not alone in his thinking. Over the years, CalPERS has been called on to divest from coal companies, the tobacco industry, firearms, and various countries. Ting says his bill sends a message that California welcomes immigrants. But CalPERS Chief Operating Investment Officer Wiley Towlett says the fund is not in the business of making political statements. Instead, the focus is on evaluating the risk and reward of investments. And Towlett says CalPERS prefers to focus on engaging with companies rather than divesting.
Own the company. Be a long-term holder. Be an active owner. Care about what that company's behavior is in the marketplace. And you're going to be much more effective if you're an owner and have a vote of your shares with that company.
Daniel Mitchell is a professor emeritus at UCLA's Schools of Management and Public Affairs. He agrees divesting isn't especially effective in bringing about corporate change.
Essentially, what happens is CalPERS sells the stock to somebody else who doesn't have those particular interests or concerns, and that the stock price is largely unaffected.
Mitchell says CalPERS needs to maintain a diverse investment portfolio in order to meet its pension obligations. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, March 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton.